This message comes from our sponsor, Teladoc Health. There are lots of reasons for wanting to be healthy. Family, work, living a fuller life. Teladoc Health understands. Whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or just need to manage your weight, Teladoc Health can help. Visit teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy for more information. That's TELADOC health/whatsyourwhy.
Welcome everyone to Couch Potato Diary on this Monday. My name is Peter Klein. Thank you very much for tuning in today. Today, busy show. We're going to be talking about the big contract that was signed in the NHL over the weekend. Elias Pettersson is staying in Vancouver for a while and is getting paid very handsomely to do so. The wheels continue to fall off from the Pittsburgh Penguins. The Calgary Flames absolutely get it right with the Mika Kiprasov jersey retirement. We'll look at a big blowout in basketball that feels like a bit of a shift in things. I'll explain that. Plus, a big name retires in the NFL, and it is UFC 299 week, so we will look at the early storylines for that. So like I said, busy show coming at all of you today. If you're looking for a bit more Blue Jays content, you can tell from the background, just did the Catlin Autocast. It's available on YouTube now. I think Spotify. Not sure why not on Apple, but whatever. Either way, it should be out by the time you're listening to this. You should be able to listen to that as well. A full look at the Blue Jays. Seems like a starting rotation spot could be opening up with the Manoah struggles / injury problems. There is a battle for second base. How has that gone as we kind of enter this second week of games in spring training? Plus some frustration over the Matt Chapman deal with the Giants from a Blue Jays perspective. And the MLB preview has started. I'm very choked up about it. The MLB preview has started. So looking at the players who could break out for the Blue Jays this season. For this show, like I said, a lot of hockey, basketball, a little bit of baseball at the end as well, as some fight talk. You can find me on social media, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. I'm at Primetime Klein, twitch.tv/PrimetimePK. You can email this show, couchpotatodiary@yahoo.com. Thank you for tuning in, whether it's YouTube or podcast form. Make sure you like and subscribe, or subscribe and leave a review. All right, let's get into it. Let's talk some hockey. It was quite the saga out in Vancouver, where the Canucks and Elias Pettersson had a very strange relationship, it felt like. At the beginning of the offseason, Pettersson said he hadn't made a decision on whether he wanted to stay in Vancouver or not. The Canucks laughably said, well, we don't even know if we want to keep him here. And then he goes out, has the best season of his career, and has been absolutely undeniable, and then reports a couple of weeks ago that, well, he still hasn't made a decision, and Canuck fans were not only saying, well, we need to trade, or we should be trading this guy, it's we need to trade this guy, which is an insane thought. And then the two sides get together, and almost $100 million later, Elias Pettersson is staying with the Vancouver Canucks. This is a win for both sides. For Elias Pettersson, it's fairly simple. He got paid a lot of money in a city he's comfortable with, on a team that I think is very clearly on the rise and is looking to build around this guy. Like, that's it. He's getting paid a substantial amount of money to play on a good hockey team. So, good job. Like, there isn't a whole lot else I can say off of that. But it is, I think, a fantastic deal for the Canucks. Even at $11.6 million a year for 8 seasons, it feels like a bargain given how good this player is. He is absolutely someone who makes everyone around him better. That's been very obvious this season, right? And it's why people are a little bit hesitant to throw Nils Höglander into trades from the Vancouver Canucks because of, not just because, Höglander is a good player who's having a good season. Pettersson helps, right? And like, it's a lot of times like, okay, there's a good player with Pettersson and player with Pettersson because he is able to make that guy better. He sees the ice in such a unique, exceptional way. Like, he is very much, for basketball people, he's very much like Luka Doncic, right? Where it feels like he sees the game in a different way, and he has a skill set that allows him to execute in such a way that makes everyone around him better, but also makes you very aware that this is the best guy on that ice surface. He has turned himself into a top 10 player in this league and is now a superstar and getting paid like it. So pressure is on, right? Like, this is a Canucks team that is flirting with a President's Trophy title and is I still think one of the favorites to win the Stanley Cup. But now there's pressure. Right now, it's not just like, okay, whatever. Now you are going into next season, the top paid guy on a team that right now looks like a cup contender. That could change, but we'll see. I think there's a lot of pressure, but I do think this was a move that absolutely both sides win in. And like for the Canucks, now you know what the contract is going to be. So you can kind of like figure out your cap sheet and figure out like, okay, how are we going to build this team into being a contender 4 years down the road? And having Elias Pettersson certainly makes it easier to do that. So I think this is a bargain. I think this is a home run deal for the Vancouver Canucks. And I think it's smart for Elias Pettersson to lock in with a very good Vancouver Canucks team. That's a team that is on the rise. One that's not, the Pittsburgh Penguins. They get absolutely pumped this weekend, losing to the Flames and the Oilers. It has been a real struggle out in Pittsburgh this season. It's so clear that this year isn't going to be the year for Pittsburgh. But now you're starting to look at next year, and it's okay, all these guys are a year older, and you're not going to have Gensel around. Who else are you not going to have around? We'll see as we approach this weekend's trade deadline. I just don't know how this team gets back on track. The Carlson trade, even though you're only taking on about half of that contract, it still feels like a disaster. And this roster just simply isn't good enough and hasn't been good enough around Sidney Crosby for a while. And it feels like a total waste how good Crosby has played this season to see this thing completely fall off. I don't know what Pittsburgh does here. I genuinely don't. They're going to have to get very creative with trades. And like building through free agency isn't the way to do it. You do not get the value contracts out there, even with the cap going up. There aren't the guys out there to help build around this team. And you've kind of run out of time to try to get the young kids ready to do like the second wave of building things up here with Crosby. So I don't know what you do. Like, hopefully you get something very good here for Gensel. And I think they're going to have to get creative with trades, kind of like what the Calgary Flames have done. Gone out and made a few acquisitions and brought in some younger pieces that are still NHL ready. I think you're going to have to bring in some pieces that will be NHL ready next year and like ready to contribute next year. Now, maybe they bring Gensel back. He's an unrestricted free agent after they trade him. They definitely need to trade him. But even that, like the guy's been hurt for a while. And so you're not going to get peak value back for Gensel either. You're still going to get something good. But there is a ton of pressure right now on Kyle Dubas and this team to make this into a winner next season. There was pressure to do it this year, and it hasn't paid off. So now this is a team that has to build up for next year, and it is going to be insanely difficult to the point where I don't think they can do it. It's going to take an entire overhaul of this roster in 1 year. And I just don't know if they're going to be able to do it in time. There is one move that could be happening here as Wennberg was pulled from the Kraken game tonight. It sounds like the Rangers are the team involved. Wennberg's an interesting player. I kind of always, like, at the end of the year, like, I view Wennberg as a good player. And then you look at his stats and think, you know, it feels like more could be happening with this guy, and it just never really seems to. So just looking at it, it doesn't seem like there's going to be it doesn't seem like the trade has happened right now. But yeah, it just seems like this is always a guy who kind of like the stats, I don't know if they don't show how well he plays or if he's just not as good as I think he is, but he's going to fit in the middle six somewhere. An unrestricted free agent here, so just a pure rental. Seattle's now 9 points out. They're not going to make a run. It does feel like a real interesting team here at the trade deadline. Obviously, there's been a lot of focus on the Flames. They're about done. They still have two big names, right? With Hanifin and with Markstrom. But this is an interesting team because they have a lot of pieces that could really help bolster some teams, as we're seeing with Wennberg and maybe the Rangers. The Kraken, I think, hold a lot of cards approaching this deadline. So that's just a bit of the hockey talk from the weekend. Just a couple quick thoughts on what happened with the Flames. The Calgary Flames had Mika Kiprusov jersey retirement night on Saturday. They hit it out of the park. They did such an amazing job. And it was like the Jerome Iginla one was perfect. And now the Mika Kiprusov one was perfect as well. 10 out of 10, no notes. They did an exceptional job with that. And everyone involved in that process should be extremely proud of what they were able to put together. And then the team responds with a big win. So We'll see. Like, there's a lot of buzz around the Calgary Flames right now. By the way, talking about team-specific shows, the next edition of Blasty Banter comes out tomorrow morning, so get ready for that one. But for the Calgary Flames, this is definitely a season of transition. It's been a season of ups and downs. They played really well against the Penguins, and we know they're gonna, they are a team that is not going to out-talent a whole lot of people. They're gonna have to really work hard if they are going to progress in any sort of way. But it was nice from a Flames standpoint to just be able to celebrate the night and to celebrate one of the greatest to ever lace them up for the Calgary Flames. And now, like, what happens with Hanifin? It sounds like he prefers to go to Tampa Bay, but we did this on Blasty Banter last week. Tampa Bay doesn't have a whole lot that they can offer right now. They don't have first-round picks this year or next year. They don't have second-round picks until 2027. There just isn't a whole lot that the Tampa Bay Lightning can offer the Flames. So it's great to want to go there. I just don't know if they have what it takes to make that deal. The New Jersey Devils are falling fast. We'll see if they make a move for Hanifin and Markstrom, because it sounds like the Markstrom deal was done and ownership stepped in. It's like, yeah, we kind of like how the team's playing, so we're not going to make this move, which is earth-shatteringly stupid and just shows why the Calgary Flames, to quote Hulk Hogan, are in the damn shape they're in because of bullshit like this. Just that. That shouldn't be a consideration at all. Yes, this is more than just trading a rental piece, but if you are able to, like, you have the goalie of the future ready. He is absolutely ready to step into an everyday NHL role in Dustin Wolf. So, like, it just seems like a no-brainer that Markstrom should be on the move. I do not understand it at all from a Flames perspective. So we'll see if that anything changes between now and the now in the end of the week when the trade deadline happens. Just a note on trade deadline day, I will be on Sportsnet 960 from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. breaking down everything that's going on or not going on trade deadline day. And then after that, at some point, I'm going to do a podcast looking at the winners and losers of the NHL trade deadline. That one might come out Monday. We'll get a programming note at the end of the show. But yeah, that is what's going on with the Flames. Again, for more in-depth Flames talk, check out Blasty Banter tomorrow. All right, let's get into some hoops. So, it may not seem like a lot, a first-place team beating a 10th-place team, but that was a monster win for the Boston Celtics, not just because they won by like 1,000 and they had a 500-point lead at halftime. This was a statement by the Boston Celtics, because they still kind of, Bill Simmons put it on his podcast, they still felt like the little brother to the Golden State Warriors after the Warriors dynasty continued with that championship a couple of seasons ago, beating the Boston Celtics, and then how things went down against the Miami Heat last season. This is a different Boston Celtics team. And like, quite frankly, I genuinely don't know how you beat Boston if they are healthy. With Porzingis' ability to stretch the floor but also play well in the post, you have Tatum, who is just unbelievable at what he does from a scoring standpoint, defensively as well. He'll take on some responsibility. They have built a complete team out in Boston, and the East obviously runs through them. If it were them against Denver in the finals, I would be so ecstatic to see what that matchup actually looks like and to see how that would actually play out. But for now, Boston has really built up a team that if they can stay healthy, they feel unstoppable in the East right now. For Golden State, this feels like a bit of a blip, like just kind of a burn the tape, bad game. I do genuinely think overall they're playing better basketball than they were at the start of the season, and things are starting to mesh a little bit more. I don't think they're a real threat in the West, but I don't think that this is going to be the start of the downfall of the Golden State Warriors. They're going to have to win 2 playoff games probably to get in the postseason, and then a matchup with them in Minnesota or Oklahoma City or Denver in the first round likely doesn't go their way. But I don't think that this is a hopeless situation out in Golden State. Just a bit of a bad night for the Golden State Warriors. But yeah, for the rest of the NBA, it really does seem like the Boston Celtics are just it now, right? And they are the team that we all, like, the best case scenario of this team is absolutely playing out in front of our very eyes. The Raptors taking on New Orleans tonight. No Jakob Poeltl in the lineup, which is disappointing. For more in-depth Raptor talk, check out Dynamite on this feed every Wednesday. It's going to be a Raptor-specific podcast. If you're listening in podcast form, it's just available on this feed. If you're watching this on YouTube, it's just going to be available in the channel. But also, if you're just looking for that specifically, it is in the playlist portion here on the channel. So check that out. A giant name in the NFL has announced his retirement. Let's talk about it. After a storied career, Jason Kelce has announced his retirement in a press conference today. Extremely emotional press conference today. Jason Kelce saying it is time to step away from the game. This is no question about it. A Hall of Fame career for Jason Kelce. Like one of the best to ever do it at the center position. And I will not claim to be an expert at the center position, but I know enough to know that this guy was one of the best to ever do it. And now you look at, for him, post-career, like, he and Travis Kelce already have an incredibly successful podcast. Every TV market is going to, or every big TV station with football is going to be asking for this guy, right? Like, they're going to be asking for him on ESPN. They're going to be looking for him on CBS. Fox will be looking for him. Amazon will be looking for him. NFL Network, all of it. This is a guy who can kind of, if he wants to stay around the game of football, this is a guy who can kind of call his shot. And honestly, probably get more recognition as a broadcaster than a football player, which is insane because he's going to Canton as a football player. But I think that this guy, like, he has just shown, how do you not love him from a personality standpoint? Whether it's the documentary, whether it's the podcast and all the stuff about the Super Bowl partying and everything like that. The guy is an absolute star that people just can't get enough of. So he is going to be 100% in the spotlight as much as he wants it. In terms of what it means now for the Philadelphia Eagles, this was already a interesting offseason because of it's an aging team, right? Specifically the offensive line. There are some players who are long in the tooth, and now one of them is gone. And so now you're kind of having to retool on the fly this offensive line. And I just wonder if this is going to be a bit of a step back to take a step forward year for Philadelphia. You have, like I said, some aging players on this team. They've done a pretty good job of drafting. If they can continue to fill those spots, then maybe they stay competitive for another year. Jalen Hurts is obviously awesome, and the weapons around him are pretty good. So, like, they're still good enough that they're going to stay in the race, I think, in the NFC. But it feels like with this offensive line specifically, and a few pieces on the defense as well, that there's going to need to be some replacements step in and have big-time seasons before this team really is good again. Like, you just think about the importance of Kelce in something like the Tush Push. Like, he is at the center of that whole thing, and no other team has really been able to execute it the way Philadelphia has. A lot of that is having a quarterback who can squat 600 pounds, but having a giant ass center in there who is one of the best to ever do it, that, you know, helps out as well. So a lot of questions around the Philadelphia Eagles, and I don't know if they're going to like the answers, at least for next season. I think this is a smart organization. I think there's a lot of talented people in place. I just think next year might be a bit of a step back for them. Just quickly, we had some baseball news between talking about this show, or between doing the Blue Jays show and this show. Some Blue Jays related news kind of came out. Josh Donaldson has announced his retirement from professional baseball. And this one, like, we're not going to do a deep dive on Josh Donaldson's career right now or anything like that. But for Donaldson, he changed the attitude and culture and perception of the Toronto Blue Jays. It was an absolute steal of a deal getting this guy who had MVP votes before to come in and play third base for the Blue Jays and, like, solidify the top of that lineup with him, Bautista, and Encarnacion. Just the Blue Jays version of a murderer's row. And for so long, the Blue Jays were just kind of, not a walking mat, but just kind of like the at the little kids' table in the American League East. The Red Sox and Yankees doing their thing. Blue Jays would make some noise and then kind of fall off a little bit. Josh Donaldson completely brought us, like, it was overused at the time, but he brought a swagger to the Toronto Blue Jays. And a lot of times that can be confused with arrogance, and toward the end it was absolutely arrogance. And from the outside, it made the Blue Jays remarkably unlikable. But for the first time in a long time, there was a sense of, yeah, we're the best. Why wouldn't we be? That 15 run, when they acquire Tulo and Price, they basically didn't lose the rest of the way. And everyone kind of took on Donaldson's attitude around things. Like, there was a confidence with this group that they were going to be able to really make some noise. And he did that. 2015 does not happen without Josh Donaldson. Same thing with 16. He wins the MVP in 15 and was just a huge part of turning things around for the Toronto Blue Jays. And so, look, he was an easy guy to cheer against when he was gone. But with the Blue Jays, it was just a guy who you couldn't help but root for, given what he meant to the organization. So just wanted to note Josh Donaldson's retirement. All right, it is UFC 299 fight week. So let's look at some of the big storylines heading into this one. UFC 299 going down this weekend. In the main event, it is Sean O'Malley defending his championship against the only man to beat him so far, Marlon Vera. This is an interesting fight. I think the big storyline here is this is now the start of the O'Malley era, right? His first title defense, coming off of a win, he has all of the makings of a superstar. The personality, the following, the fight style. That this feels like it could be the start of a really long run of Sean O'Malley as a champion in the Ultimate Fighting Championship. He's facing a fighter he's never, or he lost to, but he is a better version of himself than he was now. So we will see, is this just a bit of a blip for Sean O'Malley, or is this going to be the start of the superstar run that we think Sean O'Malley has in him? I'm really interested to see how O'Malley handles now being the hunted going into UFC 299. For Vera, this is his first title shot. He's been in the promotion since 2014 and gets his first championship bout. He's gone 5-2 since facing O'Malley and has faced some really big names along the way. I am so intrigued to see what this guy does in this big spot. Because I don't, like, as much as I like him, I don't think he gets this opportunity if he hadn't already beat Sean O'Malley before. So it does feel like he's kind of jumping the line a little bit, but let's see now what you can get out of this gigantic opportunity. In the co-main event, it is Dustin Poirier taking on Benoit Saint-Denis. Poirier has lost 2 of 3 since going up against McGregor. So the main story around this one is, can Poirier get back to where he was? This is obviously an all-violence guy, one of the greats to step into the octagon in the sport of mixed martial arts. But again, he's lost 2 of 3. And when you get to that high of beating Conor McGregor twice, and then that roll stops again, let's see how he's able to respond to a couple of difficult losses. And for Benoit Saint-Denis, this is so clearly the biggest fight of his career. No one on his resume has come close to the star power and the skill of Dustin Poirier. So we will see, coming off of some amazing performances. He's won 5 in a row. Very talented fighter. But this is a huge step up in name value, and I genuinely think in competition as well. So I am really interested to see how Benoit Saint-Denis handles the bright lights, but it's going to be a huge spotlight. This is an unbelievable card, UFC 299. We will see how he handles it coming up here this weekend. That's going to do it for Couch Potato Diary today. Thank you all so much for tuning in. Tomorrow, Blasty Banter. Plus, we're going to have some NHL trade deadline talk for you guys as well, and a bit more on UFC 299. Wednesday is going to be Dynamite, the Raptors podcast, and then anything else going on in the world of sports with some more trade deadline talk. Friday, going to be a preview of UFC 299, a look now at some AEW stuff as well coming off of Revolution. We're on the road to WrestleMania, so a lot going on the fights portion. For the football portion, I believe we might be taking the week off from that again. There is some NFL offseason stuff to come, so we will see. But no, actually, I do think we are going to do a bit of a free agency preview coming up on Friday. I'm also going to be on Sportsnet 960 The Fan coming up on Friday from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. And last programming note, next week I am in Mexico. So for the week, it is going to be like all these individual team podcasts. I'm just going to be looking at the greatest players and ranking them, the greatest players of all time on each of the teams that I'm doing these podcasts for, including an introduction of a couple new ones. So that is what is on the agenda for tomorrow and for next week as well. So thank you all so much for tuning in. Follow me on social media, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. I'm at PrimetimeKlein, twitch.tv/PrimetimePK. And you can email the show couchpotatodiary@yahoo.com. All right. Thank you guys so much. Make sure you like the video, subscribe to the YouTube channel, or subscribe and leave a review on podcast form. And I'll talk to all of you later.
Mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.